You're listening to Zen Crossing, where spirituality meets everyday life, with your host, Koshin Chris Kane, abbot of the Puget Sound Zen Center.
Today's theme is why interfaith work is important. We'll be talking about the value of studying different spiritual and religious traditions with Pastor Darren Hewson. Darren has spent a lot of time learning about and experiencing firsthand the spiritual traditions of others. His doctoral work was focused on worship as a form of dialogue and creating sacred spaces. His work has taken him to many places, including Nepal, Guatemala, Switzerland, and South Africa. Darren has served congregations as a pastor in four different states, and he represented Christianity in North America at an interfaith gathering of the World Council of Churches that was in Geneva. Darren was pastor here on Vashon Island some years ago, and I remember he called me to say he was organizing a true interfaith gathering, not just interdenominational. And the group of ministers from those days has changed, but the group still exists. And so does the commitment to a true interfaith dialogue on this island. And I have you to thank for that, Darren. Thanks. Darren's become a friend of mine as well as a colleague. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you for inviting me.
All right, Darren. I wonder, how did you come upon this path of yours of studying all kinds of religious traditions?
For me, it started early on. I was fortunate to have a pastor growing up who believed in making an informed decision that if we were going to be a part of a church, any church, we needed to know what else was out there. Mm. And so he took us around. We visited a temple. We visited a Zen center. We visited a synagogue. We didn't visit a mosque at that time. I'm not sure he could find one at that point, but and we visited some other churches, and he wanted us to hear from the leaders of those traditions, not just his version of what those faiths were.
That's got to be rare.
I think so. And so that was an introduction. That was at 13. And then when I went off to graduate school, I had a professor that had a similar feeling that if we were going to learn about a tradition, we should learn about it from people who practiced and led in that tradition. And so we visited, and that actually started my first relationship with a Zen center as I started to go to the Zen center in Denver and made deeper relationships with other faith traditions there. And I knew that that was where I wanted to focus my own studies. And it really led to a lot of growth for me and understanding.
You've really taken it a long way. Why do you think it's important for anybody to learn about different religious traditions and spiritual traditions?
I have several answers to that. One is simply, I'm a lover of knowledge, and I think you should learn anything you can learn. You know me well enough. Yeah. Now I'm just always seeking. But on a more specific about religion is so personal. And I think that relationships are really at the center of how we function in this world. And if you want to really have true relationships, you need to understand what's important. And religion is one of those things for people that is foundational for who people are. Hmm. I also think it's one of the places that has the greatest number of misunderstandings. And so really getting to know and experience each other's traditions clears up some of those misunderstandings. And those misunderstandings, unfortunately, are what lead to so much fear, hate, all kinds of negative things. And it really comes from not understanding. And so that's part of why I feel like it's that much more important to understand these things that are so foundational to people.
Mm. To you, what does a meaningful interfaith conversation or interaction look like?
For me, a big part of it actually comes down to worship. I think you mentioned my doctoral studies were about worship and shared worship experiences. Yeah. A lot of times people, you might take a class, learn a little bit about somebody else's tradition, but that's not the same as experiencing that tradition. And so I think actually experiencing someone else's worship and not just watching it. Right, because it's different to go and just observe somebody's worship service.
Totally.
Than it is to actually go and allow yourself to participate. And I realize that that is taking it a step further than a lot of people are willing to go. And I know that that makes some people uncomfortable, but I think that's a good thing. And that experience is so much more fruitful when you actually let yourself experience what it is. And so I think that's the central in terms of really meaningful experience. In terms of conversation, one of the things we did when I was on Vashon actually was we had these dinners. And I thought those were really beneficial. But they were beneficial because we forced conversation. We had these conversation topics on the tables where people had to go around and actually answer faith questions. So it wasn't just about getting to know each other as people, which was part of it, because relationship in general, but it also was like, here, answer a question that has to do with faith. And there were questions that could be answered from anybody's faith, including people who are agnostic or atheist could still answer those questions. And so having that deep conversation and having it really be about faith, instead of just, hey, we're good people and we do good things. So it's taking it to that other level.
You like to take things to the next level. I know you like to push that envelope. Even made me uncomfortable a few times.
That's good.
Have you gotten in trouble for that? You know, for like pushing the envelope a little too far about, I'm thinking about, for instance, going to somebody else's worship service and actually worshiping with them, even though you're a Christian?
Several times. It's gotten me two instances I can think of. One was at that conference in Geneva where a pastor from an Episcopal tradition actually wrote about me, and I didn't find out about it till later, but he wrote that he was scandalized by my participation in an Islamic prayer service, which I was totally comfortable in and have done lots of times, and I'm very comfortable with Islam. The other was also in terms of Islam, and I think that's actually because of the rhetoric around Islam and the misunderstanding about Islam specifically, why those are the two places where I've gotten such a pushback. That second one was actually in Seattle. There was a service of Eid, which is the ending of Ramadan, massive celebration. There were thousands of Muslims from all over the state who came, and there were a number of us who were invited as observers, and I was interviewed, and I mentioned that I felt like Christians could learn a lot from Muslims about prayer, and that comment alone got me quite a bit of hate mail, quite a bit of vitriol, and I always have said, though, if I'm getting hate mail, I'm probably doing something right. I've gotten called on it a few times, and I welcome that, because it opens dialogue with that person in Geneva. It opened what actually was a very fruitful dialogue. Eventually, it took a while to get there. In terms of the other, I never got a chance to address any of the people who were sending me things, but I still felt good about what I said, and other people came to my defense. So, on some of the comment streams. So,
okay, let me get you in trouble. What can Christians learn from Muslims about prayer?
Lots. In some ways, I think that Islam reminds Christians of a way that Christians used to practice their faith and often don't anymore. And I say that, but I also will be clear that the intention of Islam anyway, because there are Muslims who don't pray five times a day, but and there are Christians who do and who pray more than that. And so it's, some of that depends on your understanding of prayer, but I think the whole idea of a focused time of devotion, at multiple times during the day is really critical to faith. And whatever that is, it doesn't necessarily have to be coming to a place and following a pattern of prayer, but it is that whole idea of a reminder that makes you focus. And that is really important. And I do think it's something that a number of traditions have actually lost, in terms of focus. And so it's that focus and devotion and really giving up of yourself, that exists, and especially in Islamic prayer forms that are also focused on scripture and devotion instead of asking for things, which is often what prayer forms take place in, not just in Christianity, but in other traditions as well. So
yeah, reminds me of the importance in Buddhism, certainly in Zen Buddhism, of having a daily meditation practice, you know, of every single day trying to do that.
Yeah, I think there's definitely something to that of whatever it is. And I don't, like I said, I don't think it has to be that specific way, but it's understanding of the prescription of, do I have something I do on a regular basis that keeps me focused, that brings me to that focus on a regular basis, multiple times a day.
Many things, by the way, that I have learned from the Christian tradition. When we make decisions about the Zen Center, how to run the Zen Center, how to do spirituality in a democratic society like the one we live in, how to work that, I look to Christianity. All right, so those are some negative surprises. What surprised you most in a positive way about your interfaith work? Have you had surprises?
Yeah, I mean, I think what people don't realize is the gift that it can be in terms of how it makes you look at your own faith. I think that's one of the greatest learnings that we get in interfaith work is actually how much you learn about your own faith. As much as I think it's super important to experience other people's traditions and learn about their traditions, in order to truly do interfaith work, it forces you to be able to answer questions about your own faith. It forces you to have that answer because you're now in somebody else's space and they're going to have questions for you too. And ideally, they're going to come experience your worship as well, and you better be able to explain it. and so that dialogue, that back and forth is actually really important. And so the amount of thinking it makes you do about your own faith is really important. Also, just, I mean, as I said, the way that other faith traditions can inform your own practice of your religion. I often use this one quote from John Wesley that he said, "I would rather you practice your own faith well than practice Christianity poorly." And that whole concept of understanding of what is good practice of faith actually is deepened, I think, by interfaith dialogue and experience.
Deepened for sure, and yet not that many people do it. What do you think holds people back from studying other faith traditions?
Fear. I mean, I could just leave it at that. It's just fear. People are afraid of losing their own faith, afraid of how that might impact them, are afraid of how other people might see them. Fear of hate mail, maybe. you never know.
Justified.
But, yeah, but in general, I do think it's just fear, and it's fear of the unknown often, which is, it goes way beyond religion, because in general, fear is the biggest thing that holds people back from everything, and really the greatest instigator of hate is ignorance. And I think that's what holds people back, is that same kind of fear and ignorance of what they don't understand.
Yeah, yeah. Darren, how would you say studying other faiths and faith traditions, how has that impacted your own spiritual life? How's that changed you as a Christian?
I think it's opened up identity. It opens up my ability to understand where I'm at in my own relationship with God and with faith in general. Inform my practice that if I'm going to label myself, and I don't really love labels for that matter, but that I need to understand what that label means and be able to define it for myself. It has, I believe, strengthened my devotional practice. It's also, I think, open relationship to a much bigger world. And because of that, opened my understanding of God. I mean, I've always said I can't believe in a God who would condemn 2/3 of the world, which aren't Christian. That's never made sense to me. So I've got to understand more than that and experience more than that. So I think that's important for my own foundation.
Cool. All right, Pastor Hewson, thank you so much for coming.
Thank you.